If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You know we got to talk about that Super Bowl halftime performance with Bad Bunny, child, because everybody's talking about it, everybody up in their feelings, so we're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about how Cardi B and Stefon Diggs unexpectedly unfollowed each other after the game. Yeah. Sherry Shepherd is not ready to let go of her show, The Sherry Show. There is a makeup artist that has a lot to say about Miss Minaj. We'll get into that. We'll also talk about Jocelyn Hernandez and how she want to drag Mona Scott. Also, Glorilla, she finally responds. She goes on live and she goes in on her sister. All that and more coming up on the Weekly Yap. Doing what's going on? It's your boy Darren Green. For the first time, we are live on We Are You Radio in the morning, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I believe we got that slot. So, you know, this is the first time for everything. Hope you guys enjoy the show. Now, we have a lot to get into today. You know, as I say all the time with these episodes, I'm going to try to be under 40 minutes. I'm going to try to be under 30 minutes. I don't like going over. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, we have a lot to get into. I do want to start off by talking about the Bad Bunny halftime performance. First of all, shout out to Bad Bunny because I believe it grossed over 135.4 million views. Okay, so they're saying that this is the highest. Let me make sure I get that saying correct. This is the most viewed halftime show of all time. Or overtime, I should say, when we're calculating from 2020 to 2026. Okay, so, okay, this is a big improvement. This had more views significantly. I'm not surprised. Do you see his tours? Do you see his concerts? Like, when I tell you it is packed, not a lot of artists are doing the same thing. You know, I don't really get into Bad Bunny's music. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not gonna be no fake hope and be like, oh yeah, you know, it was amazing. It's amazing. He's an amazing artist. You get what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure he is an amazing artist, but you know, not my cup of tea. And we're gonna get into that. But he has a lot of fans. People were tuned in. There were so many people at my job that was like, oh my goodness, I cannot wait. I had no expectation for this not to do well, for the viewership not to be there. What was expected was the responses and what people had to say. I mean, you know, during this event, we had the Turning Point USA situation, if you want to call it that. They did their performance. You know, look, can we play a little bit of it, child?
Oh, no wrong gain in the propane flow. The chosen one, I'm the living proof. With the gift of gab from the city of truth. You know I jab, stab, and not critics back.
Okay, let's stop that real quick. Yeah, I had to clutch my pearls for a little bit, yeah. So, yeah, that happened while the Super Bowl, and we got people just faking it and just like, yeah. Get the hell up out of here. Now, before I did this video, because I told y'all I was not watching the Super Bowl this year. Like I said, I don't have the bandwidth. But, you know, I watched the halftime show before I came on here because I wanted to get some type of research before I formulated my opinion. Watching it, it's a lot better than watching the clips because I was seeing some clips here and there and I was like, what is this? I'm going to be honest. Like, I think that Bad Bunny is not per se my cup of tea. I don't listen to music like I got like one Bad Bunny song and it got like a lot. I like the women Latin singers. Okay. They be having some good song. I don't know what they be talking about, but the vibes is always good. Maybe I'm being a little misandry or whatever the male equivalent to misogyny, but I like the Latin women singers. I have a lot of those in my playlist. You get what I'm saying? Cause the melodies in this song. So I have like one song that has Bad Bunny in it. I'm not really into it and that's okay. And if you're not into it, that's okay too. But please shut the fuck up. I'm sorry. One F-bomb. I'm sorry. Like, if you don't like it, that's fine. It's not for you. I think I got a lot of things from all sides of the spectrum. Like, on one hand, we have the run-of-the-mill MAGA supporters that are just like, oh my goodness, this is a slop. You know, even Trump says something. We have like run-of-the-mill racist whites. It's just like, oh my goodness, like, why are we not being represented? Or this is not the representation of America, this, that, and third. And then we have Black people that really kind of pissed me off a little bit. Cause I'm like, not y'all, like, it's a lot of people. Like, we have people like, what's his name? What's this fella's name? What is his name, child? Mate, this is what he had to say. And a lot of Black people was echoing.
NFL's in comparison to all of the people that have gone before. To me, it looks like the NFL is getting worse each year in their performance. That's for me as a performer. Thinking of a performance, if I had a budget to do a Super Bowl, you could do a greater show. I just think of that. Like you said, I had the privilege of seeing Purple Rain. I had the privilege of seeing Michael.
Okay, man, we can move on. That was Mace's words. This also, Kid Rock also made a statement, child, I guess, coming for Jay-Z. This is what he had to say.
People, I didn't understand any of it. I mean, I saw there's a lot of dancers and a lot of big to-do stuff. And, you know, he said he wanted to have a dance party. It looked like he had one. Not my cup of tea, but I don't fault that kid for, you know, doing the Super Bowl, getting in front of a global audience. Like most people, I didn't understand any of it. I mean, I fault the NFL for putting him in that position, you know, and Turning Point for having you come out and have an alternative for people to watch. You know, it's just poor kid.
Kid Rock, you were never going to get, I don't care who was in charge of the halftime show, whether it was Jay-Z or not, but you never was going to headline a Super Bowl show. Let's be very clear on that.
Girl.
Not when you got songs like this. Come on, I know it's for a kid's cartoon back in the day, but Lord, I mean, where was your PR team? Here is the thing. Like I said, I also did not feel, like I said, I wasn't personally connected to, you know, a lot of the music that was being played here. I did kind of enjoy myself. Like it was kind of feel good dance music, even if I don't understand it. I hate to mirror what the Breakfast Club people said, but it's like, you don't need to know the language to understand the vibes. The vibes were definitely there. I was doing my little shimmy and I was doing my little shaking my imaginary maracas and stuff. Like, it was definitely giving beady, 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 bum, bum. You know, I was getting my little life. okay, now I'm gonna, is this one of these halftime shows that I will watch again like I'll watch Beyonce? No, because I don't stand Bad Bunny, and that's fine. But there's people that do, and there's a place for everybody. This is artist subjective, and this is another thing that people like to sit there and say, oh my goodness, everything is so political, everything is so political. No, you freaking people on the right, you MAGAs, y'all make it political. Y'all make everything political. That's why I don't really watch the Super Bowl. I was seeing commercials. They had Mike Tyson calling people fatties and saying that y'all need to lose weight. What are we promoting? What target audience is this? You just punch it down? That's what we're doing now? Like, it's everything is so political. We can't just sit down. Okay, maybe your favorite artist didn't get to perform. Okay, maybe next time. Maybe next time. Okay. Stop acting like, and for the black people in the room, child, that were upset. We've had, and let's go back to this slide. Let's go back to this slide. We've had plethora of black folk. We had black folk like the last 3 years. Rihanna, Usher, Kendrick. And I'm not just sitting here to, you know, try to humble my people and be like, well, y'all just need to be happy that we've had artists that got our lives, you know, with the shows that they perform. I mean, I liked Kendrick Lamar's performance. A lot of people didn't. People loved Usher and Rihanna's. And then before then we had, what's his name? Weeknd. Like, what? Okay, so now we have a Latin artist. Give us something different. I mean, look, if it ain't for you, it ain't for you. And for the white people, I'm sorry. Y'all think y'all need to be the center of attention every damn time. When Megyn Kelly sat up there and said, well, we don't need no Latin artists performing. We need American artists performing. We don't need no black national anthem. We need the regular national anthem. I'm just like, girl. And I love how Piers Morgan, I don't like him either. But the way Piers Morgan said, okay, well, you talk about you need an English speaking performer. But what is your official language? What is your official language over there in America? English. Okay, we done colonized everything, child. Well, they done colonized everything. Let's keep it clear. Anyway, I like the performance. Chris Brown also said something that I wanted to mention. I guess he made a post after the show and said, you know, I think it's safe to say that they need me. If that was a way to ensure that you were going to be the next pick for the Super Bowl halftime show, I mean, good luck. Good luck. do I think Chris Brown is it long overdue that he do a Super Bowl? I think he should. I mean, even though I think he's an asshole, even though I think that, you know, he's not really a good person. Well, you know what? I don't think he should perform, child, because, you know, your personality and the way you are behind closed doors, it hinders you from doing achievements like this. So you know what? I take that back. You don't deserve the goddamn rights to perform at the Super Bowl, okay? Do your little tour. Do your sold-out tours. They love you over there. They love, honey, we love abuse. This is America. We love abuse. Anyway, let's move on. Speaking of what's been going on after the damn show, because now Cardi, now that's another topic. Where is my notes, honey? I need my notes, honey. So this is from the Jasmine brand, right? Let me share the screen, child. Now, it says that Cardi B and Stefon Diggs have sparked a fresh speculation after the fans notice that the two no longer follow each other on Instagram. Screenshots circulating online show that Diggs' name no longer appears on Cardi B's following list and vice versa. With Instagram searches returning to no user found when each tried to locate each other's account, the apparent unfollow comes after weeks of height of attention on the pair. Neither Cardi B nor Diggs has addressed the unfollowing or commented publicly on their current status, leaving the fans drawing their own conclusions from the digital move. Okay, as of now, it's unclear when the unfollowing occurred or what prompted it, but the timing has gone unnoticed by followers closely tracking the situation. Now, here is the thing. Okay, they saying this was like after the Super Bowl, right? And I got from this blog, now this is heavy alleged because this is a new blog that I've been circulating, Chad. It's called The Bish Gossip. Okay, shout out to them on Instagram. But it says that Cardi B reportedly left the Super Bowl early after spending $1.2 million, okay, on an after party for Stefon Diggs, an event that neither of them ended up attending after she found out that Diggs, the baby mother, had a front row seat with the newborn while repping his jersey number. I think they said somewhere it's like he had like four kids in 1 year, if I'm not mistaken, child. Let me put a heavy allege on that. Your baby mother was on. Well, you got your new thing and your old thing in the same place. Like, Stefon, what are we doing? What in the ditty is this? What in the ditty is this? Okay, what in the ditty is this? How did you expect her to? It. I do think that this all happened in the same day. I do think that she unfollowed him because she saw that the baby mother was in is in the same vicinity. This child that this baby mother's, you know, holding got this Snoop on there. Now, I don't know if that's the child's name, if it's a nickname or something like that, but he also had that on his belt buckle. It's a lot of connections. It's a lot of connecting the dots. I mean, like I said, none of these two spoke out since. I'm not expecting them to really say anything, but Cardi, girl, it's not a good look, honey. It is not a good look. Y'all will tell me what y'all think about that in the comments, honey. And with that, we'll be off the Super Bowl. Now, I want to talk about Glorilla. We did talk about Glorilla on our recent episode of the Darren Green Show. Please, shameless plug, check that episode out, y'all, because they're trying to shadow ban a bitch over there. They're trying to shadow ban me, girl. But Glo has finally responded to her sister. She took to Facebook Live to address her sister, Victoria Woods, that claimed that she abandoned her parents and siblings after reaching fame and success. Here's a little bit of that live.
I don't like y'all being in the public, because like I said, you gonna do stuff like go work because you still want to, so it ain't no point of, like, that's why I ain't want you. My mama begged me to put statements out to take her side, and no, she don't gotta do all that. Mom, you keep doing what you want to do. You keep getting spoiled every month, and you keep working because you want to work, because you don't want to lay on your back and beg nobody for nothing.
Because the girl told me where we were, the hours that we were going, so we had to resign.
And that's mine, because you don't gotta. How many hours was you working there anyway?
Two, three.
So you're going to work for 2-3 hours, but she acting like you just need to go work there. I'm pretty sure that's $200 a week.
She didn't know we were working at first. And when I couldn't give her the money, I did, you know, and I said, well, I'm working. She said, you work. So that made her think that I was struggling.
It's cool, Ma. You taking care of, you know, you can get whatever.
My whole thing is, I don't know if that played because I was doing something, but there was a part in there where she said that I work for like a total of like 2 hours a day or whatever, and then like we see Glorilla doing the math and saying that, oh well, you know, that's like 200 a week and this at the third, like you're not really working. Like, that part seemed a little weird, because like, why is your mama working? I'm not like if she really genuinely wants to go out there and work and not, you know, just like she says, sit on her ass, that's fine. But I do think that there is something a little bit more to the story. And I'm not trying to sit there and say that the sister is in the right at all. Like, she's on interviews and stuff like that talking about some, oh, well, you know, I used to watch my sister's network every year and it used to go up and it used to make me mad. You look at somebody's network from a site that's not even verifiable. Half of these network sites are not verifiable. They do not capture the actual financial standing of these people. Let's be very clear on that. But that's neither here nor there, that this sister is not literate and just very remedial. So I expect this type of behavior and research. But I don't know. Like, I just when she said that, and she was trying to map it, like the way that Glorilla was trying to do the math and everything, like, you only make a 200. Like, it's not even that much. Like, you just working just to be working. Like, and I'm gonna spoil you and this, that, and the third. Like, I don't know. It definitely gave like a little bit of PR. It gave a little bit like, all right, get on this live, tell, basically denounce everything that my sister's saying, and I'm gonna give you a little something. I don't know, girl. I don't know. You know, these celebrities be lying, honey. And Glow has been known to be a little weird. I don't know. Y'all would tell me what y'all think about that in the comments, but I just thought that, I felt like that part was just a little weird to me. to me. Okay, so also, this could be like a little quick. So this celebrity makeup artist, Sir John, shares a horror story, about why he would never work with Nicki Minaj, child. I try to steer away from talking about Nicki Minaj. I do, because I know y'all don't like it. A lot of the people that be, barbs and stuff like that, y'all be coming for me and stuff. I had this one person in my DMs talk about, why you don't like Nicki no more? I don't dislike her. I don't hate her. And I know this might sound controversial, but I still love her. But she is definitely just a big disappointment, child. She's just been disappointing me. And I know she don't owe me nothing. She don't owe nobody nothing but her family and her kid and her what's that and the third. But anyway, this makeup artist says that he's experienced horror stories with Nicki, saying that she is not, like, literally, there was a worker that needed to attend their dad's funeral, and her response was, isn't he dead already? This is what the man said, child.
Her abuse so many of my peers.
When you say abuse,
I don't like my lip gloss. I'm gonna wipe it on your shirt. I don't like that you saying, hey, after you said everything.
I can see Nicki doing this, but come on. Sometimes when you're famous, you do feel like you feel like you could do shit like that. But like, I mean, I can get how somebody made
thing up to do thing up to do amazing video. Everything is set. And now you say, I miss my dad's wake. You know, I have to go to the funeral. He's already dead. I can go. I'm trying to give you an edited version. I remember Hype Boy. He asked me, can I do something for him? I'm like, yeah, bro, whatever you need for me. His name is, it's all good. I want you to do some makeup for Nicki Minaj.
Hell no.
No, I have turned her down more times than a little bit. A shout out to the barbs, whatever. I love all you guys. I just don't think she's a really nice human. And I,
if I know that, I'm not going to allow you to push me in any way. And I've seen her abuse so many of my peers.
So I'm going to say this, and I know I got to be that person. Y'all going to sit there and say, oh, he just, yeah. You know, when people say the same thing about one person, there could be some truthness to it. This is not the only person that has spoke out and said that Nicki is not a nice person behind closed doors. I think it was this person that worked with American Idol and talked about how difficult she was even then. And these were like the humble years. And we've kind of seen a glimpse of that too. I mean, Nicki did several documentaries where she, you know, she's getting ready for shows. She's doing this, like, we're seeing the day-to-day life. I remember when she did the re-up, and she had like the DVD that basically was, I used to watch that shit like every day. And she would, you know, do a lot of things. And, you know, we would see her get into it with her work. And, you know, I always looked at it as she's like a perfectionist, and she wants perfection. And sometimes in order to get perfection, you gotta be the micromanager. Looking at it in the lens as an adult, that has managers, that has been micromanaged, that has, you know, been disrespected by managers because work wasn't done how they want it done. It's not that it wasn't done correctly. It's just that how they wanted it. I can see how, that's kind of icky. That's kind of icky, Nicki. And the fact that it's multiple people, we got people from that worked on her tour, makeup artists. You get what I'm saying? Makeup artists. What can I say? What can I say, Jam? Anyway, I do want to talk about Sherry Shepherd. Now, I didn't see this, but I heard that Sherry Shepherd addresses the talk show cancellation and promises that she's going to keep fighting to keep the show alive. Okay, now I'm going to read this little excerpt from the Jasmine Brand. It says the Sherry Syndicate show is ending and the host has broken her silence on the cancellation. As reported, the decision was made by the production company, Debmar Mercury, comes amid challenges in the daytime television rather than issues with ratings. And I don't even get that. Comes amid changes in daytime television. And they said, yeah, there's a shakeup in daytime television, but it's not an issue with ratings. If it's not ratings, then why the hell are you canceling the show? If that is the case, you know what? Sherry addresses the news and says, I'm not ready to throw in the towel, signaling her determination to continue engaging with her audience despite the show's conclusion. This is what she said.
Our show has not been renewed for another season.
And I want to say to y'all, everybody, y'all try not to faint or fall out, because healthcare is expensive and none of us have it anymore. So y'all don't fall out. But I have to say, our show has not been renewed for another season. You know, and thinking about it, I'm truly overwhelmed by the outpouring of love that I have received from all of you. I want to be clear. I'm not ready to throw in the towel on this show just yet. I'm not. We're going to be airing episodes all through the fall. And we're going to continue to fight to keep the show alive in some way, shape, or form. Yeah.
I don't know how she's going to do that. Because I'm pretty sure this is the work of Fox. Like, they saying it's the production team. And it's given very much Fox don't want the DEI no more. They don't want that DEI. I definitely feel like that is the case here. Because if it's not ratings, and honestly, I would freaking, if I was Sherry and it's not ratings, there is no reason why a show should be canceled. She's not that controversial. She do not talk about controversial things. It's not like, so she's not really getting in trouble with the network. What's the reason? If it is ratings, then make it about that. But the fact that they're saying there's a shakeup in daytime television, a shakeup, or you want to replace black talent with white talent. Fox has done this before. Fox owned UPN. UPN played a lot of black sitcoms, a lot of black sitcoms that got paid at the time, you know, because of that network. And then Fox came along and basically canceled all of them. So it's not unheard of that this is the case. I don't want to make it political, but if it's not ratings, and you're not giving us a clear answer as to why her show, and this is me, not me fighting for Sherry, and I was just shading her because I miss Wendy. But I do think it's kind of messed up if it's like, what do you mean not ratings? That's the only way a show gets canceled. That's how it's always been. But the first time in daytime or talk show history, second to the would have been Jimmy Kimmel, that a show gets canceled not because of ratings, because there's a shakeup in daytime television. What does that mean? A shakeup. y'all go ahead with this bull crap. Y'all go ahead. I ain't got nothing else to say about it. We will see how she's gonna fight for this show. I don't see much budging, because Fox, when they make a decision, they make a decision. Anyway, prayers for Wendy Williams and her family. Speaking of Wendy, her father did pass away at 94. Wendy, you know, I hope she's doing well, because, you know, she, I feel like when her mom died, that's it really got her, like the way she announced it, and it did, it looked very like she was not trying to cry too much. She was like really holding back tears. So I just wonder how she is with her dad. And, you know, I know she was close, but, you know, I think Wendy will be all right, but just prayers to the family. Now, I did want to talk about Jocelyn before I get up out of here. I was going to talk about Cecil and freaking Simone and shit, but I don't care about these people, child. I'll talk to them when the next episode comes out, child. But anyway, Jocelyn Hernandez, child, says that Mona Scott Young took advantage of her story. Here is a clip.
Is a special woman, to say the least, and not in a good way. I feel like she took advantage, especially back in 2012. She really took advantage of my story with Stevie. And it was so many times that I called Mona to be like, Mona, please tell Stevie to stop with me. Tell him to stop harassing me. He's coming over to my house at 3-4 in the morning. He's bringing in. He's knocking on my door. He's terrorizing me. And y'all know this, but y'all still hired this man for work. And that's just the type of woman she was. And I think that's the type of woman that she's always going to be. There is no in between with her. She doesn't know how to be best or be good to anyone. And she's with She's with But I'm with too. And I'm not scared of Mona. And I don't give about the bitch. But I just knew it was a lot of things that were done under her watch. under.
My best friend had to bring me back to life, because at first I was like really listening to her and like, you know what? Yeah, Mona Scott Young definitely has some skeletons in her damn closet. There was something sinister about that girl. There was something sinister about that woman and how they did that show. There was a lot of things with Love & Hip Hop that's, and I think it's really at its end at this point. Nobody's really watching it. The show is kind of dead, but it was very weird. That show was very weird. But then when you think about it, my best friend had to be like, okay, but she doing the same thing now to the girls at the cabaret, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you were treated the way you were treated by Mona, and now you became Mona. And you want us to care about that? You want us to give a crap? Jocelyn, when you sit there and bully and berate the girls, at least we never seen that really with Mona. It was more covert. But you be beating these girls' ass, you know, just for staring at you a little, and you staring at me too. Like it gives very much you the Don. Like you saw that old movie with that girl. She was like, let me talk to you. I own you. And she slapped the girl. She said, I didn't say I was leaving. Shut up. Now let me go talk to you hoes. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's how Jocelyn is. It's giving, you know, the damn, the freaking people that, the woman that be owning the hookers, honey. So for you to sit there and come for Mona, it's just like the pot calling the goddamn kettle black. You know, it kind of falls flat. Like we try to have empathy for you, Jocelyn, but then you a bully too. You do the same things. Had that girl jumped by your butch woman. You know, be having ballistic, your husband, boyfriend, whatever, beating up on, hitting on women. The girls. I don't get it, honey. I don't get it. I don't get it, but you know, it is what it is. I told myself I wasn't gonna get up to 30 minutes. But look, here we are. That is the end of this weekly app. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I will see you guys next Monday with the Darren Green Show. Okay. Talk to you later.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.